Okay, good luck, everybody. Really, a very, very special schus to finally be back together. Before we begin, just tonight, all the Torah, all the chizik, all the Cyrus is being sponsored by one of the chevra anonymously. His birthday is coming up. Just Bez Hashem, for a year of simcha, a year of bracha, a year of shefa, for her, for entire family, Bez Hashem is baruch. It's really special to be back, and I think it's very appropriate during these very holy days. You know, obviously, the days of El, the days of preparation for Yom Narayim, for Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippurim. So if there's one focus of these days, more than anything else, it's tshuva. What does tshuva mean? Tshuva means to return. You know, people like to sometimes translate, and we've seen it translated as to repent. Tshuva really means shuv, to return. So first of all, before anything else, it's a schus to return. You know, we're all on some level tonight, just doing tshuva. It's been a long time since we've been together. Some of us have been together in other venues, in Camp Hask, in other places. But to be back together on Matzei Shabbos, to be back together, it's beautiful, in the Red Shul, or in Eish, or whatever it is that we switch off and have, and to learn together. You know, it's something very special. This is a very special time for me. I mean that, the time that we have to learn together, to grow together, especially Matzei Shabbos, after a beautiful Shabbos, and we could be in a lot of different places, but to come together to learn, to come together to grow with a beautiful chevra. You know, you always return back home. If you go away into different places, wherever it might be, you go on vacation, you go away even for a long time, the place we go back to is what we call home. We return back home. And this is also, in a sense, a home. And obviously, home is where we live and where we have our bedrooms. But a place where we grow on such level, a place where we learn Torah, a place where we're koveitim Torah, a place where we gain a lot of chizik together. In a certain sense, it's a home. So, a zman of tshuva, a zman to return. So it's very special to return here tonight and to be back together and hopefully to be koveh again, to be, you know, we'll try to continue every other Matzei Shabbos together, Mirtz Hashem. To learn, to grow, and very much looking forward as Hashem's Baruch. So these are big days, the days of El. I recall when I was first married, I lived in Kew Garden Hills. I was in a garden apartment. It was two floors. In our door, there were four apartments. Two on the bottom floor, two on the upper floor. And right below me was an older woman, Mrs. Grossman. I shared this over the years. I'll never forget, it was Mavarch and Chodesh Elul. Shabbos Mavarch and Chodesh Elul. We benched for Chodesh Elul, which was a few weeks ago. I remember in the afternoon, she used to sit outside. She had like a folding chair, and she'd sit outside during the day. It was a nice day, and I was out, and walked back in. I was talking to her, and she was telling me that she used to go to shul in the morning. And she was lamenting to me that she was very sad that morning in shul by the Rosh Chodesh benching. Because she remembered back in Europe, the way she said it to me, these were her words. She said, even the fish in the sea would be trembling when they heard Mevarchim Chodesh El. And here she didn't see anybody crying. She didn't see it was like a normal shul. Okay, Mevarchim Chodesh El. El! Very, very big days. They're very, very big days. But I'm not so sure they have to be scary days. I'm not so sure we have to tremble. We have to take them seriously. We have to understand the power of these days and the avoda of these days. But to be trembling, maybe for a different dar, they're days of tshuva. And that alone, tshuva can be scary. Because if we think of tshuva in its classic sense, we think of tshuva of really rectifying and fixing all the areas of my life. Sometimes that could be very scary because I know personally, I look at my life and there's every single area I want to fix. Every area I want to do better. Every area I'm not living up to who I think I should be and can be. And it's very heavy. And we know there have been times in life when we've tried in areas that we're working on and it's not so easy. So that's why it can be scary. And then we think, I'm going to walk into Yom HaDin and am I going to be matzliach? Is it going to be a year of simcha, of bracha, all that I want? All my tefillah is answered. But if we think of tshuva the way we translated it already tonight, And tshuva is, what does that mean? Not necessarily to repent, but to return. Return means to a place that I always was and can be. Return means just to return to the Ribbono Shel Olam, to return to yourself, to be yourself. That's something we're all capable of. That's something actually very, very beautiful. That's something we all want, and something we all can attain. We have to think about it like, we can't be scared by these days. We have to understand the power of these days, how special they are, but utilize these days. Ani l'dodi v'dodi li. We all know that famous. There are many acronyms of Elul, but the most famous is Ani l'dodi v'dodi li. Simply put, build a relationship with Hashem. A relationship that was always there, and that is always there. Just return to it. Be in it. Take it seriously. Ani l'dodi v'dodi li. That's what it's about. More than anything else. The question is, how do we do that? You know, that's very beautiful. We can talk about returning to that relationship with Hashem. Ani l'dodi v'dodi li. The question is how? How do we do that? What is the avodah? What is the focal point? Just to think about that, to contemplate that. I want to share one focus of Elul that I believe, maybe more than anything else, it could be the key to everything. The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, in Perek Vav, he talks about an individual that's nobody in this room. And nobody will ever know of. But an individual that's so far off, that's fallen so low, that's in such a dark place, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes away even the ability to do tshuva. Tshuva is the biggest gift in the world. Tshuva is so special. The ability to know that I can never fall too low and I can always pick myself up. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu is waiting for us as something so beautiful, it's so refreshing. But then to imagine that there's an individual that door of tshuva is closed, is sealed, that's very, very scary. So that is actually possible. There's nobody here, and nothing to talk about. We're talking about the worst of the worst. But there is such a concept. And the Rambam says, Efshir, it's in Perek Vav Halacha Gimel, Efshir Shiyachte Adam Chata Gadol, O Chatan Rabim, an individual could do such a terrible sin, or so many sins, until the judgment is before the most truthful judge, the Ribbono Shel Olam, the payment, the punishment to this individual for these sins, that person did, Britzono, willingly, with his own knowledge, we fall sometimes accidentally. We fall because our taivas get the best of us and we feel bad about it. Someone who really wanted to, talking about a terrible, terrible individual here. That what could happen? Shemonim imenu atshuva. Kadosh Baruch Hu refrains, holds back the ability for that individual to do tshuva. Ve'emanichin lo reshus l'shuv mirisho. And doesn't give permission for that person to return from his wickedness. Kidei sheyimos ve'yaved b'cheto sheyasas. That person will just die and be lost because of the sin. Terrible, mamish lowest of low. No, I'm using this, not chas v'shalom to anyone here. Nobody should think I'm in and get worried and think, oh my gosh, maybe that's me. No, chas v'shalom, this is talking about the lowest of low. But even the low, listen to this. So the Rambam talks about an individual so low that mamish HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes away the ability to tshuva, takes away the ability to come back and be reunited with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Scary. But even that individual, listen closely, the next Rambam, and the Rambam then quotes and just different psukim and different either generations or individuals who fell onto that category. Right? We know famously by Paro, this is where he talks about it. That's why Yachazek is Lev Paro. Everybody knows, right? We learn about that in Chumash. That's the Rambam quotes that. That was what it was, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took away his ability to do tshuva. But then the very next Rambam says, "Ukeinyan zeh sholem atadikim and aviyim b'tfilah son me'es Hashem la'azram ala emes." The tzadikim still go, and the Rambam alluding to that even such people in such situations, that tzadikim and other people neviim daven that should never, and he continues that should never be, that al yigar melichatoy lemon emitshuva, that should never happen to me. That I should never be that. What's the Rambam telling us? Rosh Hashanah Shadran points out and he explains. The Rambam is telling us that even to those people, and again, that's not us, but even to those people, there's still a mafteach, a key. There's still an ability to return. I mean, Hashem took away the ability of tshuva, but there's still a way to reopen that. How? Through tefillah. That tefillah could still even open up that. Tefillah could go even above that. You see the koyach ha-tefillah. You see what tefillah is for us. The tefillah, in a certain sense, is the ultimate way, more than anything else, to rebuild, to return. We'll see as well. Where else do we see this? We know the famous story of Eliyahu Behar HaKarmel, Eliyahu HaNavi, in Malachim Aleph, where the Nevi'ei HaBaal grasped Klal Yisrael in a way that the Jews fell to the lowest of low. The Rambam actually talks about them in that same Rambam with Paro. He also talks about the Dor by Eliyahu, by Har HaKarmel. And what happened there, we know famously, Eliyahu HaNavi tells the Nevi'ei HaBaal that we're going to see, we're going to prove who's Emes. And that you're going to take a par, a bull, and you're going to bring it as a korban. I'm going to take a par, I'm going to take a bull and bring it as a korban. And neither of us are going to what? Not neither, right? We know the story. Neither of us are going to light a fire. We're going to put it out and we'll see. Whoever HaKadosh Baruch Hu burns up the Shemayim and brings this spectacular miracle will know is Emes. And this will be a sign for all of Klal Yisrael and hopefully be the turning point. And be a spark for all of Klal Yisrael to turn around, right? That's what Eliyahu HaNavi did. Now on that whole story, you read through that story of Navi, I'm sure we've gone through it, there's a medrash that gives a little more detail. It's not explicit in Navi. I'm going to read you the medrash in Bamidbar Rabba. It's incredible. Something that happened during the whole storyline. Ma'as Eliyahu, what happened? Meaning, what did Eliyahu do? Amar Lahem, he said to the V.A. Abal, Bacharu Shnei Parim to Oimim. I want you to go choose two twin bulls. That it should be the bulls that the bull that I take and the bull that you take should be exactly the same. Right? We don't want anyone to afterwards say, oh, your bull was more chashiv than our bull. You had a bigger bull, you had a more chashiv bull, that's why Hashem took it, right? We want everything to be exact. So to find the twin bulls. That would be what? Hagdelim al Mira Echad. They grew up like on the same pasture, so they had the same sustenance, the same nutrition, the same upbringing. Everything exactly the same. And then Bitiu Lileim Gorolos, put a goral. It sounds like very Yom Kippur dick, right? Echad Lashem, Echad Lazazel. Here's what they did. One par, make a goral, make a lottery. Echad Lashem, Echad Lashem Abal. Right? One's going to be for me, one's going to be for the Baal. Ubacharu Lehem Apar Echad. And they went and they chose. The power of Elio immediately followed him to eventually be put onto his mizbeach to be burnt up to Hashem. The power of Elio Hashem Abal nikkapsu kol nevi Abal unevi Ashera v'lo yachlu lezuz as ragla. All those neviim, all those sheker nevi Abal, all the oivdev adzara of Ashera, all the oivdev adzara, all the leaders that were seducing Klal Yisrael. They all tried to pull, the power wouldn't budge. They couldn't get it to go anywhere. It was like mamish set in stone. Listen to this. So Eliyahu HaNavi says to the bull, go with them. We all learned Parshas Balak. And very famous, we talk about talking donkeys, right? Everybody knows about the talking donkey. Everybody knows talking donkey and Chvesnish and Shrek, and we like to make comparisons and big miracle, talking donkey, right? This talking donkey that we know was created, Ben Hashemashos of days of creation, of the sixth day of creation, a very miraculous donkey. You ever learn about any other animals that spoke? You know, maybe you saw Dr. Doolittle or something, Chvesnish, but I don't know. Anywhere else? Listen to this medrash, it's a Beferish medrash in Bamidbar Rabba. Hey Shiva Par! The bull spoke back. The bull answered Eliyahu HaNavi. V'amar lo le'enei kol am, in front of all the people. All the Jews saw this talking bull. Ani v'chaveri yatzanu v'bet nachas. I and my friend, meaning my twin, we came from the same womb. Mi parecha, from the same bull, from the same para.
V'gadalnu b'mir echad, we grew up in the same pasture. V'hu ala b'chelko shamako u'shmo shal kadosh baruch hu miskadish alav. He was lucky enough that what? He's going to go and the girl came out, he's going to be l'shem Hashem, and he's going to be a karbon and prove the Nevi Baal wrong and make such a kiddush Hashem. Wow, it's amazing. V'ani alisi b'chelek habal hachis esbori. I'm going to go with the idol worshippers to anger God? No way, no chance. This is the bull spoke to Eliyahu HaNavi in front of all of Klal Yisrael. Amar lo Eliyahu, par al tira lechiman, par yimsu alila, k'shem sheshmo shakadosh baruch miskadish li, oiso she'imi, kach miskadish alecha. Eliyahu HaNavi said to the bull, no, you don't get it. Go with them. You're going to make the same Kiddush Hashem. You're just as important. It's going to be the same Kiddush Hashem. Why? Because there's not going to be any carbon with you. The fire's not going to come. That alone, and they try, you read through the Navi, try all different types of things and singing songs and whatever they're doing, all their Avodah Zarah stuff to try to get this to happen and nothing happens. That also is tremendous Kiddush Hashem. To see how sheker they are, to see how false they are, to see that they got nothing done. So go with them. And eventually you see from the course of Pasuk and he was able to get the power to go with them. Now what's incredible here, B'nai Yisrael saw all this. They saw all this. And you know what that did? You think, imagine you're somebody wavering. Lo aleinu, nobody, but not you, but a person's wavering between MS and Sheker, wavering between these Nevi'a Baal, who obviously had some sort of incredible pull on the Yidden, and MS and Torah and Mitzvos and the Rabbanim and Eliyahu HaNavi. You're wavering what MS is. And then you see this talking bull. You see that Eliyahu HaNavi involved in this incredible miracle, and you hear the bull say, I don't want to go with them, Nevi'a Baal, I want to be the Kaddish and Jemaim. That's not enough. Like right there, end. Checkmate. Like that's it. I'm good to go. Right? Why do we struggle so much, each and every one of us at some level? Because at times, even though we have a moon, even though we believe, even though we know Hashem runs the world, Hashem created each and every one of us, l'maisa, but physically we don't see Hashem. I mean, we see Him through stories and through our lives and through so much, but mamish like to we don't see open miracles in our day and age. We see hidden miracles, many of them. Open miracles, not in the same way. I'd like to say, if you saw an open miracle, if you see the Rabboni Shel, like, and here was the power, this bull talking and saying that I don't want to be Mechal Hashem Hashem, I want to be Mekadosh Hashem Hashem. Like, that's it. Do we need to see more? Check, game's over. We don't have to continue. We don't have to continue. There's no reason to play anymore. Finished. But actually, nothing happens at that point. Nothing happens at that point. And it's not till later that we find that Yidden do eventually come back. And they say, Hashem hu alakim, Hashem hu alakim. But that's not until a little bit later. Why not here already? Why not right now? So we said already, we saw in this Rambam, in the same Rambam that I quoted, that there are those who fall so low that HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes away the ability for them to do tshuva. This Rambam in Perek Vav, Halacha Gimel, talks about Paro, V'chein Yisrael B'mei Elio, L'fi Shaharbu L'pshoa, Mano Me'osam HaMarbim L'pshoa B'tshuva. Hashem held back their ability to return. Even though they should have then. Anyone, any normal person in that scenario would have returned. You see an open miracle. But they couldn't. They had an impediment. Hashem, they were of those people of this Rambam. So they couldn't, even though they saw this open miracle. But then we see they do. They say, Hashem Elohim, Hashem Elohim. So they do. What changed? Open up the Navi and look. You know what happened in the middle? Eliyahu HaNavi davened. Hanani Hashem, Hanani. Answer me, Hashem. Eliyahu HaNavi davened. This miracle, nothing. The tfilos of the tzaddik, the tfilos, Hashem Elohim, Hashem Elohim. And that's the next Rambam. That even when all else fails, tfilah could bring us back. Tfilah could reconnect us. Tfilah is the biggest key to our bond with the Rabboni Shel. Now, if we could bring these sources from the lowest of low with Chas V'Shalom, none of us. Alachas, Kama V'Kama. You know what our tefillahs can do for us? You know how our tefillahs can reconnect us to Hashem? You know how our tefillahs are that mechanism of tshuva on the highest level? Of returning to Hashem, of Anila Dodi V'Dodi Li?
In Chevra, I just had an incredible schus to meet my mishpacha and our tzrol, close to 3 weeks. It was an incredible trip. There were so many highlights. I mean, just to be by Mekomis Kedoshim with the whole mishpacha, to be by the Kaisel, to be by Chevron and Svat and Meron, and to have just enjoyable, beautiful places that we went to. Mamish, everywhere in Eretz Yisrael is just seeing the... It's Mamish like anywhere you go, you see the par speaking, you know? Because you see the Rabbonu Shalom, it's so clear, it's so real. You know, every time I'm in Eretz Yisrael, there's different avenues that bring me chizik in different ways. And this trip, more than anything else, time and time again, I noticed just the tefillos of Eretz Yisrael. Tefillos of Eretz Yisrael. It's just different tefillos. From the most simple, you know, from the simple just going to random minyanim and mincha or ma'ariv, not taking, you know, 6 minutes for mincha and 8 minutes for ma'ariv, but in like just a random shul in the middle of a Tuesday afternoon going to mincha and mincha is 13 minutes, 14 minutes. And to finish manasseh, turn around, everybody's still davening. Everybody. And this was before El. Like, people daven. Like, for real. Here, and I don't want to talk chas v'shalom, talk lashon hara on a makom, and obviously there are many, many individuals that know how to daven in America as well. But sadly, it's like Rav Soloveitchik used to say. It's like a person doesn't want to daven, want to have davened. Check, I davened. I want to be able to say that I davened today. But do we really want to daven? Are we really absorbed in our tefillos? In Eretz Yisrael, it's amazing. Everywhere I went, it was such chizik to see. It's like all tefillah. Even like the focus, my girls, Baruch Hashem, my beautiful girls, I have three beautiful girls, and we go to Eretz Yisrael, and you know, you go to Eretz Yisrael, you want to bring home something from Eretz Yisrael. What do they want to bring home more than anything else? A sitter, of course. Now they all have, like, this is going to be their sixth sitter that they've got in the last 6 years. You know, like, because you have to, but we got it, we got to have a sitter. And we have to get a sitter, we have to go, it's like a whole afternoon, to go to Mea Shearim, to go to Shai Leather, right? Is that what it is? Shai Leather, right? And we have to pick out from Shai Leather amongst all the Siddurim. And it's always a big hack in my mishpacha because really I daven Nizuch Svard, but they all daven Nizuch Ashkenaz in the school. So should we daven? Should I get Nizuch Svard? Should I get Nizuch Ashkenaz? Where am I holding at this point? Who am I going to marry? I don't know. Like, you got to, because it's different sides, which one? And then you have about 50 different Siddurim to like look at, and you have to look, get the perfect inside, the perfect outside, and then what am I going to put on the cover? My whole name, just my first name? You know, it's like, you never know, right? Just what I'm called, what do I want to write? But it's beautiful. That's the biggest avodah, and the most exciting thing that they brought back from my throat, were their siddurim. And I was watching them when I got on the show today, I saw one of my daughters just davening, using her siddur, and it was so beautiful. And it's an embassy, it brings you back to Eretz Yisrael, and it's amazing and beautiful, but at the same time, that there's really something to that. Guess what? They probably sell all those siddurim here too, you know? Like, but there's something about Eretz Yisrael that connects you. You want to connect to tefillah. You want to connect to tefillah. You go to a kaisel, there's a yid, Rav Addis. Rav Addis is, I don't know if you've heard of Rav Addis. Rav Addis is a mokubal. He's written 50 sforim on Kabbalah, and he's always by the kaisel, davening and leading tefillos, and just to watch him daven, because often you don't have the time to actually daven with him, because by him, you know, mincha is like a half hour, and ma'ariv is like a half hour, and every tefillah is more kavana than the ilu of Yom Kippur, and it's incredible. It's the most beautiful thing. I had the schus, you know, I was there the first few days of El. So by Svardim started saying Slichos already. We're Shchodesh Elul. We Ashkenazim, you know, we don't have it in us to start saying Slichos yet. If we started saying Slichos now, we'd be burnt out. We wouldn't be able to daven. You know, like Svardim has a different connection somehow. And they started saying Slichos already, we're Shchodesh Elul. We're going to start Mirtz Hashem a week from tonight. A week from tonight, Ashkenazim started saying Slichos. Mirtz Hashem. So I was there, I'm in Eretz Yisrael, beginning of Elul, the first few days of Elul, and I was by the Kaisel, and I said to myself, you know what, I have the chus to be here, Elul, how can I not start saying Slichos also? Okay, I'm Ashkenaz, not my minog, but is there anything wrong with tefillos? There's nothing wrong with tefillos, you could say. So I was leaving Eretz Yisrael. I was there. Rosh Chodesh, remember, Rosh Chodesh, Shabbos, Sunday. Sunday was the first day of Elul. So I was in Eretz Yisrael till Thursday night. Wednesday night, I went to the Kaisel. And Chatzos HaLailo, after 12:30, you know, thousands of Sfardim. I'm sure you've seen videos, or maybe you've been there over the years. Literally thousands of Sfardim. And mamash, you go, and you see Sfardim. It's not just seeing Sfardim. What are you seeing? You're seeing Yidden with earrings and tattoos and mohawks and the Kaisel yarmulkes and davening like I don't daven the Yilul Yom Kippur. You know, mamish, like tears coming down their cheeks. That, I don't know. Eliana, maybe you'll explain to me sometime, like, what, like, slichos more than any other tefillah also, like, just brings out, like, the lave. Happens to me, so I said to him, I'm going to daven with them, slichos. And it was one of the most inspiring nights of my life, because, first of all, Sephardi slichos are so much more beautiful than our slichos. And I mean, it was new to me, but, like, first of all, you understand, like, the words you could actually understand. Try it one night, you'll see. It's like, actually, you know what you're saying. Unfortunately, our slichos are much harder. And they sing through the whole entire thing, and together, and they're like, I don't know how they know what to do when to, because you have your one chazan, but then you have like a backup chazan who's also like taking over at times. And then like at certain parts, like different members of the kila like pump in. But they like, I was afraid they're going to come to me. I don't know what to do. I'm going to have to like be, you know, doing the Sephardi voices or something. Thank God I just like stayed in the corner or whatever. But like it was so, and there's a lot of give and take. And then they get up to Yud Gimel Mezorachim, Hashem, Hashem, Korachim Chanan, which obviously for all of us is powerful and special. But there, they're mamish blowing shofar during the Yigimel Mitzrachim. So you have one individual who was it was like the backup chazan guy. So he's blowing shofar as you're davening Hashem, Hashem. You know, it was, Hamamash, I just start crying. It was like so powerful. I think it's like how it's supposed to be. I don't know. And it was beautiful. It was amazing. Tefillas. And the truth is, I felt it there, but why can't we do that here? Meaning, it's the same. Guess what? The words are the same. Okay, definitely we're inspired by Makom in a very beautiful way. That's something very real. But we have to look at every base medrash, every base knesses, and wherever our Makom Kavu of davening and our bias, or wherever it might be, it's a big dishmat. It's Eretz Yisrael, Dick. And we could do it here. And we see by Eliyahu Navi, and we see from the Rambam, the power of tefillah when it comes to tshuva. But I want to explain tonight so we understand it how. Like, why? Why is tefillah, we know about tefillah, we know what tefillah could bring yeshuas, and bring kapara, and bring refuas, and bring parnas, and bring, but what does that, have to do with returning? Like, what does that have to do? Exactly. Like, why more than anything else? Why is that the key? I think it's a Torah that we definitely mentioned at some point, but needs to be remembered. Just to understand how tefillah works. Just to understand tefillah. In a very novel way, Lefi the Derech of Rabbi Yosef Alba. Rabbi Yosef Alba wrote a beautiful sefer sefer Yerikarim. There he explains something very, very deep. How does tefillah work? How does tefillah work? For example, meaning what? Imagine lo aleinu, an individual is sick. Individual is sick. When that individual got sick, the Rebbeinu Shalom, b'chvod v'atmo, decided that individual is going to get sick. We believe that. And took everything into account. For whatever reason, this individual should get sick. Which we don't understand. We're not privy to all the details of the Rabbeinu Shalom. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided that. So Arya Kohn is going to daven, and then suddenly that goes away. I'm like, all the machshavas of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he took into account are out the window. Like, what does that mean? Why? How does tefillah work? Why does tefillah change anything? Eberster knows better than I. Rabbi Yosef Alba explains something so beautiful about tefillah, of how tefillah works. So if you know what happens when you daven, you go into Shemoneh Esrei. If we daven properly, and listen, I'm not talking about those that daven and are just Hebrew reading exercises and reading through the words, which sometimes happens to all of us. But if we really daven, we think about what the words mean. We have proper kavanah, the way that we have to daven, the davening that we're talking about tonight, real davening. So I walk into that tefillah and I just start. Imagine you start Shemoneh Esrei, and I start Shemoneh Esrei. L'keinu v'l'kei Avram, l'kei Yitzchak, l'kei Yaakov, Hakel, Hagadol, Hagibur, V'anayir. I talk about the greatness of Hashem, how incredible HaKadosh Baruch Hu is. And you know what starts to happen through that Shemoneh Esrei? And then I talk about Atachonei L'adam Da'as, and I recognize and I think about how if I'm saying certain things, I mean that means, you know, who gives the ability to have Das? It's the Ribono Shel, and I'm hoping He gives more to me. And Baruch Elena, whatever, all the brachas, I'm thinking about it. I'm not just saying it. I'm not just reading words. I'm actually davening. So he says, a person who actually davens, you go into Shemoneh Esrei, one person, you come out a completely changed person. Transformative. You can't be the same person that went into the Shemoneh Esrei if you really daven. Because suddenly you're inspired. Suddenly you recognize, and more than before, who the Ribbono Shel Olam is and who he is in my life. I'm a different person when I come out of the Shemoneh Esrei. In other words, Shemoneh Esrei is the greatest Musar Sefer in the world. Davening is inspiring. It's a process of inspiration. If I actually daven. If I actually think about the word. If I actually go in with this mindset. So he says, you go into davening one person, you come out a different person. That's how davening works. Meaning, Kadosh Baruch Hu make a gzeira on Ploni, on an individual, that he should be sick. So he made a gzeira on this person, but that person, daven, person comes out a completely different person. So the gzeira is no longer on him. He made the gzeira on person A, it's person B now. It's a different person. The gzeira falls by the wayside. Because I'm not changing God's mindset. I'm changing who I am. And it works, by the way, you could ask, oh, how does that work when I daven for somebody else? So that makes sense for myself. Right? If something's going on in my life, so my davening, if I daven properly, I'm going to become a different person. That's everything we're talking about today. And that's why tshuva is so connected to tefillah. Because if tshuva is all about returning to myself and returning to Hashem, there's no better mechanism for that than tefillah. And that's what the Rambam's telling us. Just a side point, how does that work when I daven for somebody else? So often we're davening for others, we're davening for someone else that is sick, somebody else that needs parnasa, someone else that needs a shidduch, someone else who, whatever the issue might be. So shkoyach, I'm changing, what's that to do with this person? The answer is, if I'm davening for someone, clearly by definition, means I have a connection to that person, right? Whether that's because they're my relative, whether they're my friend, whether they're just another member of Klal Yisrael that I care about. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is so perfect and so Ein Sof. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides somebody's going to go through whatever nisayon that might be, whatever challenge that be, he takes everybody that's connected to that into account as well. Meaning what, a person's not going to get sick if it wasn't that their siblings also, for whatever reason, need to go through having a sibling that's sick. That's also part of the gzera, which we don't always fully comprehend, but that's part of the gzera. But it's all part of the gzera. So I, who am connected to this person whatever way, am also part of that entire gzera. So if I change, also the gzera no longer deserves to be, because I've changed. So it can even work for somebody else. It's incredible. That's how Rav Yossi Velbel explains tefillah. It's so beautiful. It's a whole different mindset when I go into my tefillah. When I go into my shacharis tomorrow morning, it's not just to daven because of a chiv to daven. It's not just to ask Hashem for things, or even to thank Him for things. It's not even just to praise Him. It's to be inspired and remember who I am and who the Ribbono Shel Olam is in my life. And I walk into the tefillah one person, I walk out another person. And that's more than any other activity in my life. More than any other avodah. It's a way to connect to Hashem, a way to have a relationship with Hashem. More than any. You know, if you look, there's a beautiful Mishnah, probably the most famous Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, probably. I'd venture to say, Shlosha Dvarim Olam Omed. The world stands on three pillars, right? You all know it. Shimon HaTzadik, Mishiyori Knesset HaGdola. Shimon HaTzadik, one of the final members of Anche Knesset HaGdola, he said, Shlosha Dvarim Olam Omed, Torah Avodah Bin Chassadim. Right at the beginning of Pirkei Avos, right? You all know this. Three pillars of the world, Torah, Avodah Gmil Chasadim. Torah, learning Torah, what we're doing tonight, keeping Torah. Chesed, kindness, being derech eretz, kadmah l'Torah, caring about others, giving to others. And Avodah, Ezu Avodah, is Avodah Shebelev, is Tefillah. These are the three pillars of the world that are so important. Chaim Lajon says if any of them was not being done for a moment, the whole world would cease to exist. They're the pillars, they keep it up. There's always someone learning, there's always someone davening, there's always someone doing Chesed. That's why we have time zones. No question, I believe. But anyways, you know, we always like as Jews to categorize things just to have mental capacity and understanding of whatever it might be. So if you categorize the mitzvos, there's a lot of ways to categorize the mitzvos. Positive mitzvos, negative mitzvos, bin alo makam ben l'chavero, deraisas derabanan. So let's take bin alo makam ben l'chavero. Those are two categories, right? Those between us and God, those between us and our friends. This Mishnah like has three pillars. Why is that three? Why not two? Meaning, Torah, Avodah, Mishnah, Chesed, that's all Ben Al-Chavero. Torah is Ben Al-Makom. Tefillah is another level of Ben Al-Makom, right? So why is it in its own category? And why is it right there in the middle, which seems to be at the core? So I always felt as follows. And this is a little bit based on the Maral and his take on this Mishnah. That of course Torah is something very kadosh, something very holy, something very special, something that has to be a part of our life, and chesed as well. But both of those, in essence, can be done, not in their perfect sense, but can be done without any relationship with God. Meaning what? Think about it. Let's say chesed is the easiest subject, right? Chesed, how many non-Jews are doing chesed, doing wonderful acts out of the kindness of their heart? That's beautiful, that's wonderful. That's great. But it doesn't mean that's the perfect form of chesed. The perfect form of chesed is also doing it because it's a mitzvah, because Hashem wants us to, because we want to relate to our brother, to our sister, and get closer to Hashem through that, and emulate the Rebbeinu Shem through that. But you can definitely do chesed without any God in mind, right? Sure. Torah as well. Torah as well, by the way. Even learning Torah. You know, there are many non-Jews who study Torah, who study Bible, who study Talmud, who study Chmeis Nishin. In like South Korea or whatever, North Korea, one of the Koreas, whatever they what was it? I don't know. I went to a whole thing out there. They study Talmud in their public schools because they realized how incredible the wisdom is. But there's no God in that in their eyes. I mean, there is God. We know when we study Torah, it's a way to connect to Hashem and to give Hashem a hug, and it's incredible. But you can study Torah on a purely intellectual level. It's an incredible wisdom. Tefillah. Tefillah, by definition, is a way to connect to Hashem, is having a relationship with Hashem. If you're davening without a relationship with Hashem, you're not davening. You're just reading Hebrew words. That's not tefillah. Tefillah is avodah shebelev. Tefillah, in its very essence, is a connection to Hashem. As the Shlach HaKadosh says, tefillah b'li kavana k'guf b'li neshama. Tefillah without kavana is like a body without a soul. What's a body without a soul? It's dead. It's nothing. So in a certain sense, it's the most chashuv thing we could be involved in. And that's why it's the middle. And that's why it needs its own category. And it's the middle because then it affects the other. Once we daven and we have a relationship with Hashem, then we could have an effect on our learning and on our chesed that also they will bring us close to Hashem. Which they should as well. And they can as well. Unquestionably. That's why what's the most important kavan of davening? Chaim Brisker explained this in the Rambam. The most important, we talk about kavanah and davening. You know, what we always think about kavanah, you think about people with their eyes closed and spending like an hour on Shemoneh Esrei, and it's beautiful, it's wonderful. But and thinking about, sometimes you think about like, oh, kavanah means knowing the deepest Kabbalah about every word and some esoteric ideas. No, you know what's kavanah? The deepest, there's a lot of levels of kavanah. There's a kavanah of pure shamilim for sure, just knowing what you're saying and thinking about what you're saying. But you know the ultimate kavanah of Shemoneh Esrei? That you have to have all of Shemoneh Esrei? Dalif Neimiyat Omei. Just think that you're standing in front of Hashem. To know that I'm standing in front of Hashem, that I'm talking to Hashem, that I'm in a relationship with God. Ani l'dodi v'dodi li. So what more important avoda during these days? To return to ourselves, to return to Hashem. I'll never forget when I went to speak to my Rebbe, Nassim Tzvi Finkel, Zecher Tzadik Kadosh Bracha, and asked him for chizik and tefillah. The two pieces of advice he gave me. One was, he said, before Shemoneh Esrei, before I start, I should just stop and think I'm about to walk into the palace of the king and talk to Hashem. Just think about that. Very simple. But it alters the whole Shemoneh Esrei. It's not just I'm reading words. It's not that I'm asking for things or praising. I'm talking to Hashem. I'm having a relationship with Hashem. And then he said, look in the siddur and point with your finger. And it helps focus us. I remember watching him, and he used to do that. From Nassim Tzvi Finkel, Gadol Adar, knew Kol HaTorah, knew all the tefillahs by heart. And he'd stand with his finger on the place throughout Shemoneh Esrei. And it wasn't easy for him to do either, because he had Parkinson's disease, and his body's flying in every direction. And he did whatever he could to keep his finger on the place as he's davening through Shemoneh Esrei. Because tefillah connects us to Hashem in the deepest of ways. Da'alef Nehemiah Ta'omei, think about that. That's the biggest of avodah, to decide during these days of Elul. I'm going to be mechazik my tefillah. It's going to be different Shemoneh Esrei. I know at times it's hard. We just started. It's a new year and with the school year and work, and there's a lot of responsibilities. Decide one Shemoneh Esrei a day. One Shemoneh Esrei a day, I'm going to manage to take time and just say every word and think about what the words mean, and and talk to Hashem and build that relationship with Him. And that will, you'll see, just like we're saying in this mission, that's the core, that will affect everything else. Then that will give me the chizik to improve in the areas that I'm looking to improve in other areas, whatever that tshuva is that I need to be doing in those areas. That will be the impetus of it. We'll take it with us. We'll take it with us. That as well is a big tari. In Shabbat Shuvah, we're going to say, K'chu mechem devarim b'shuvah ad Hashem. K'chu mechem devarim b'shuvah ad Hashem. Well, words, tefillah. K'chu mechem devarim. Take words with you b'shuvah ad Hashem. Return to Hashem. It's an incredible tari of the Magid on this. There's a Gemara in Brachos. The Gemara in Brachos says, Eilu devarim sha'omdim b'romo sha'olam u'bnei adam ezalzim b'hem. These are the things that stand on like top of the world, lofty on top of the world, yet we disgrace them. We're mezalzel, we disgrace them. We don't treat them properly. He's talking about tefillah, that whole daf talking about tefillah. So what does that mean? One level means that we could walk into shul and you see people on their cell phones in shul and you see people talking during shul and that's a zilzel. I mean, that's a disgrace. But what about those who don't? The Magid says there's another level of what it's talking about. The mezalzim and our tefillos. K'chu mechem dvarim. What does it mean, take it with you? Take with you the words. He says tefillah should be something that we do it properly, that's so inspiring, that we take it with us. That the rest of our day is a different day. The zilzul of tefillah is that, yeah, I daven, but then I'm not a different person from the tefillah. But maybe that's because it's a Hebrew reading exercise. I'm not taking my tefillah seriously. And I'm not happy in the proper kavanah. And if I daven properly, it's transformative. And k'chu mechem, I'll take it with me always. And have this incredible relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu that davening is all about. That's why it was famously, Svarim bring down, I think it was Rachel Solanter I saw from originally. We know the curse of the Nachash, the beginning of time, the beginning days of time, the Nachash is cursed. The snake is cursed. And what's one of the curses? That it'll eat from the dust of the land. And the question is, yes, that seems like a very good bracha. Because that means the snake has everything it needs. It has all its sustenance. So I think it was Rishul Solanter who explained this. And he said that what was a Kodesh Baruch Hu? You know what the biggest punishment in the world was? The biggest punishment ever is? Lo aleinu, God forbid, a parent punishes a... Sometimes it's needing a punishment, sometimes something necessary to mechazik someone. The worst of punishment is, imagine like this, you know, a parent says to a kid, you know, here's $5 million, a car, get out of here, I never want to see you again. That's the worst punishment. Because you're giving money, you're giving $5 million, you're set for life, exactly, but it's, I never want to see you again. Because Baruch Hu said to Nachash, take everything, have your sustenance. I don't want a relationship with you. Meaning what? You don't have to come daven to me. You don't have to come ask me for food. You don't have to thank me for food. I don't want a relationship with you. That's the biggest curse in the world. You don't need a daven. Because davening is the way that we get close to Hashem. Davening is the way that we have a relationship with Hashem. Davening is ani l'doy d'vidoy d'li every time I daven. Every single tefillah. You know, I have to share a story that I definitely shared once before. I don't know, all the chavos, some of the chavos, but I was thinking about it today because tomorrow is the beginning of the 3-year anniversary of the story. Tomorrow is September 11th, the day that difficult day, day that hopefully gives us the chizik to put our priorities in the right place. I remember. Anyone can't forget that day when we lived through that, those of us that lived through that day in a very real way. One of the things that you go through when you go through such a tragedy in the world and so close to home is definitely to focus our priorities in the right way. It's a day to think about that. But I'm not going to talk about it at length. But 3 years ago, it was September 11th, it was a Wednesday. This was the right before, the September 11th before COVID. Right? So 2019. And I spoke that night in Stern College. I still remember like yesterday driving there Because as I'm driving there, they have the memorial by the Twin Towers with the lights going up to Shemayim, right? I remember being so moved, like watching it and seeing it and thinking about so many years ago. And so I got to Stern and spoke there that night. And in the middle of that speech, I remember I was in the middle of speaking and like my voice started to get hoarse, but in a very like strange way, in a way that didn't seem like normal. I used to get hoarse often, but like not in a way that was normal. Like something was like off in my voice. And they had their, I usually don't like to use too often a microphone when I speak, but sometimes it depends on the situation. And so they had a mic there, so Baruch Hashem, they had a mic there, because that helped me. I was able to get through that particular speech. So the next day, I still felt like something was off and weird, but I pushed it to the side, not thinking much of it, fine. The next night, it was Thursday night, I was giving shiur in my house to men. And like in the middle of the shiur, it started to happen again. To the point where at one point, after like 15 minutes into the shiur, maybe 20 minutes into the shiur, I literally couldn't get a word out of my mouth. Like mamish went, not of course, like laryngitis, like but out of nowhere, like gone, nothing. So remember, the guys started like singing and I was like drinking a lot. After them singing for a few minutes, I was able to speak for like another 5 minutes, and then again, like nothing, like not say a word. And like we ended cheer very early that night. I was able to, whatever, I finished up in a way, whatever it was. And I knew something was just off. But then at that point still, I thought, okay, I'll get back my voice. It's just hoarse and better. But it continued, it came back. Like the next day I already had my voice, but something was off in my voice. Even when I was speaking, it felt off. So basically, I eventually I had to make an appointment by a doctor, by an ENT who specializes in the throat and voice, and I found out that I developed from speaking, from whatever it might be, a polyps in my vocal cords, a polyp in my vocal cords, and basically needed surgery. And there was a lot of discussion to figure out who should be the surgeon and what should be. I found this a surgeon that I very much trusted. And Baruch Hashem, she was someone who specialized not just doing surgery, but doing laser surgery as opposed to like cutting me open, which is obviously more dangerous and also has way more lasting complications, and just the healing process, rehabilitation is much more. Laser is a lot less intrusive and just easier. And fine. So everything took time. I had a few appointments with her until I finally, and it was November time, about 2 months later, that I finally had the surgery that was scheduled, and went in for the surgery. And she, you know, whenever I'd go to her, she'd check it. That itself was a whole other, like the way that they have to check your throat is basically they, I don't want to get too graphic, but they send a video camera through your nose, down your throat. It's not that comfortable, you know what I'm saying? You could imagine, right? I don't know if any of you ever had this and needed to have it. It's not that comfortable. But you know, you get it, you do what you gotta do, right? And I remember this doctor's telling me, so I'm asking her, as we're preparing for the surgery, so I asked her, like, should my wife come with me to drive in? No, don't worry. You'll see, the whole thing takes 10 minutes. You have to stay here about an hour after so I could check you. You could drive home. I said, okay, what about, like, the pain? No, we're going to numb you up. We numb your throat. We numb inside your nose. We give you, you're going to be fine. It's, like, a little more uncomfortable than when we check you, when we send the camera up. And basically, they send a camera and they send a laser, both, like, through your nose, and they, with the camera and the laser, they burned it off. And then for a day, she told me only a day, apparently I should have been a little more, that I wasn't allowed to speak. It was a crazy day after, I wasn't allowed to speak one word for a day. For one day, I wasn't allowed to speak one word. For the next 3 days, very little. And then eventually, slowly back, and needed voice therapy for a while. It was November, it wasn't until Pesach time that I fully had my voice back, 100%. But Baruch Hashem, Blianar, since then, my voice has been like way better than it ever was beforehand. Like Baruch Hashem, I never have hardly get hoarse or anything. I mean, also the voice therapy taught me how to use my voice differently. It was important for me in a lot of ways. But getting back to the surgery, so she tells me it's not going to hurt much. It'll be a little more uncomfortable than a normal like checkup. I'm like, okay, great. So I drive in that morning, and my wife, I tell her I don't need her. She doesn't want to, you know. I go in. We go into the room. And they're numbing everything up in my throat, in my nose, getting me ready, whatever it is. And then they stick, you know, okay, the camera and the laser in. And they start using the laser. And in mamish, it was like the most pain of my life. I'm like, unbearable pain. Unbearable pain. Like mamish unbearable pain. And then you like smell the flesh being burnt off, like, and there's like a little smoke, and like, and I'm there's doctors and a couple nurses, and they're like around me, and like, you're stuck, you can't move. And I remember I was in the, it was like such, and I mamish started crying, like there were tears coming down my cheeks. I was in so much pain, and I didn't know what to do. I thought I'm gonna like lose it, like completely, you know, like mamish thought like I couldn't handle it. I don't know, it was like maybe like they didn't numb me properly or something. I have no idea. And she tells me the whole thing's gonna be 10 minutes. This is like 3 minutes in, and I'm like, no way, this is not happening, you know? And I didn't know what to do. And there's nothing I could do. They're in my throat, like, you know, they have things in my throat, they have things in my nose, and I'm like there, and I'm in just unbearable pain. And I start davening. Now, not with words, because I wasn't allowed to speak, and I couldn't speak, but just the machshav, just in my thought, just in my heart. I started davening to Hashem and talking to Hashem and asking Him to help me in this situation and that I should be able to get through this and just get this over with. And I'm going to tell you something. The moment, not like 5 minutes, the moment I started davening, I was fine. And I don't mean, listen, if I thought about it physically, were they still in pain? Yes. But like that level of pain that was like unbearable and just the whole, the anxiety of it and everything that was going on, I was like totally calm and fine and good, and like it was no big deal, and finished the procedure and good to go. The moment I started davening, and it wasn't a miracle. It wasn't that suddenly like there actually was no pain and suddenly like everything like just healed with the moments. There was no miracle that happened. It was just that I realized after, when I was thinking about it, like the moment I remembered my relationship with Hashem, like it's all good. Because Hashem, you just give it over to Him. And He's watching over, and He's taking care, and He's with me, and it's a different experience. It's just a different experience. I wasn't thinking about Hashem until that. So I was in pain. And it was about me and my physical pain. But the moment I started davening and rebuilt and restored and did the tshuva of tefillah, everything was all good. And that's what tefillah could do for us more than anything else. Tefillah returns us to ourselves, returns us to Hashem, turns us to anila dodi vidodili. And that's the avoid of these days more than anything else. Don't be scared by the days. Don't worry. Halavai, of course, don't get me wrong. Of course we should be attacking things and work on things and take kabbalah. But first and foremost, just daven. Just daven more and reconnect Hashem. You see, that itself will affect everything else. That itself, I'll be a different person when I walk into Rosh Hashanah. Think about how we can grow in our davening, how we can daven differently, how we can daven our tzrol dikin tzvilus. How we can daven, whatever it is, whether it be davening a little bit more, whether it be saying an extra kippah to them, whether it be just focusing on what we do, deciding, I'm going to look inside the tzitter, whether thinking about it, whatever, each and every one of us, how we could be mechazik or tefillah, you'll see, it's a different relationship with the Eivishter, and with that relationship with the Eivishter, of Anil Dabi Dibali, it'll be a different Yom Noraim. Because that's what it's all about. You know, a couple weeks ago, when I was in Eretz Yisrael, the first couple days of El, and I got a voice note from one of my Talmidim very close to. And he, in the summer, he ran a trip, a birthright trip to Eretz Yisrael. And he's still in touch with a lot of the individuals who went on the trip. And he's, you know, none of them were from. And he's trying, and they learned a lot from him and grew a lot from him. It's incredible. And he's trying to mechazen him. And they reached out to him. They wanted to know what El is all about. So I gave him this long voice note telling him like all that El, what is it? He's like, no, Rabbi, I know what El is. Could you do me a favor, Yasmi? Could you send me a voice note that I could then just forward to like the whole bus about El, realizing where they're coming from, that they could connect and understand El. So I did that for him. And you know what I explained to him? I said as follows. So you know what El is? El is obviously the month preparing for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, the time in the year when us as Jews are judged. The time in the year where Hashem is deciding our upcoming year and all the bracha and shefa and everything that we're going to have, all the potential. So we need a month to prepare for that. You don't just walk into a court case. So how do we prepare? Some people prepare for court cases with every little detail to win the case. Sometimes that's very scary and it's hard to know if we're going to win the case or not. So there's another derech. It's ani lado divadodi li, which is elul, and I explained that to them in the pasuk, right? What does that mean? So one way you can win the court case is being successful by defeating the other side and deserving the win. But imagine something. Imagine if the
The judge was someone that loves you and that you love. And the judge was your father. And the judge is someone that deeply cares about you, and you show that you care about them. You're going to have a pretty good chance of coming out successful in that court case. Anila Dodi Dodi. You know what Elul is? Elul is a time to prepare for Hashem Yom Kippur. But how? Just by rebuilding, rekindling that beautiful relationship we have with the Avinu Shoshayim. And then we're assured it's all going to be good. That's all we need to do. That's what I explained. But as we understand tonight, no better way to do that than through tefillah. No better way to do that than just enhancing our tefillahs. Davening with Hashem, being one with Hashem. And then we'll be zoyche to be with Hashem in the deepest of ksharim of Anila Dodri Dodoli. We'll be zoyche each and every one of you to ksivich sim toiva, kuli and shiar, your simcha, your bracha, for each and every one of you and for all of Klal Yisrael.